Mike McIntosh begins today's edition of CNV with this encouragement to stand for righteousness.
But take heed that no man deceives you. You give up. You stop voting. You stop standing for what is good. Because I learned a long time ago, if you don't stand up for righteousness, you shall fall for everything and anything. And just because other people are doing it doesn't mean that it's right. Take heed that no one deceives you. This is your vessel. It's nobody. This is your body. This is your mind. This is your life. And you give it to God.
And I'll stand up and shout.
Psalm 101 verse 7 says, "He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence." Thanks for joining us for the Thursday broadcast of Chapter and Verse Radio with Mike McIntosh. The Old Testament gives us examples of deception that warn us how easily we can be deceived. Our own discernment often makes it difficult to distinguish between the truth and a lie. Other people, ungodly people, seem to prosper through the lies and deceit. When we pattern our lives after them instead of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are subtly removed from His presence as the truth of God is exchanged for Satan's lie. Today we're going to hear the conclusion to our message from Mark chapter 13. Are we at the end of history? Now let's join our teacher, Mike McIntosh, for today's study.
Now, as you know, there's what's known as the Ring of Fire. It actually is comprised of all super volcanoes, 23 super volcanoes. And they're from Asia, sweeping around, coming up the west coast of South America into California and off to the Aleutian Islands, passing through San Francisco. And two summers ago, 16 out of the 23, the first recorded history of it all, I guess, were bubbling underneath. One or two might have been erupting, but the whole chain was getting to do something. Now, the largest supervolcano is in the United States of America. And scientists know that it's going to blow sometime. And when it does, one half of the population of the USA will be killed because of it, because of all the things that are going to come out of the earth. The cauldron, which is that big circle on top where everything erupts from underground and then starts spewing out, the cauldron is in the state of Wyoming. It's over where we call Yellowstone National Park. And it's where Old Faithful spurts up. That cauldron is 450 square miles. That's how big the opening to the earth is there. Can you imagine that when it blows? 450 square miles around. And everything in the near first 100 miles will be totally obliterated and leveled. But it's the smoke and the ashes that are going to start moving with the wind. And the wind usually comes from the west coast and pushes everything to the east coast. So I'm able to see what my family in Arizona is going to have for weather by ahead of time by what comes through San Diego. And when the winds, there will not be an airplane flying anywhere. Those of you that are pilots know that you cannot take an airplane, be it jet or reciprocal engine, into ashes because it's going to be drawn right in to the engine and those engines will seize. Traffic will come to a screeching halt. The fallout, the fires just keep moving across the country. The death from the Canadian border down, and it'll go into Canada, is just going to be humongous. That's just one event that scientists say it's not if, it's when. Earthquakes in various places. Now, in the last 12 months, 14 months, that cauldron has been actually making new vents. And the vents that come down into the earth are places that you can relieve pressure. I think God designed it that way. When Old Faithful spouts, it's pressure being released. It's a pressure valve. But it has been trying to make new ones because it's ready to blow its top. Oregon, from Mendocino County, California, all the way up to British Columbia, Vancouver, BC, the entire coastline will be destroyed by tsunamis when the Pacific plate from the ocean coming up to the end of the earth and the Cascade plate, which is the beach area, they separate every 300 years, and it's 330 to 340 years since the last recorded time. They're expecting that the wave, the tsunami, all the way up the coast is going to be so dynamic because it'll be they're predicting 9.2 on the Richter scale. And when you see what happened with Japan with a 7.8 in the Richter scale, and what happened to the nuclear power plant, and the radiation is still there, you begin to understand why San Diego Gas and Electric and others shut down the power plant at San Onofre on the way to San Diego at Camp Pendleton. Because, like Japan, for some reason, our brilliant people like to build on earthquake faults. It's not your fault. It's their fault. It's shut down. Then they wanted the taxpayers of San Diego to pay the $1 billion cleanup costs, and it's all sitting there, all that radioactivity just sitting there, has not been moved. And they shut it down. There's another one that's up the coast by Big Sur in that area. It too is built on a fault. Japan woke a lot of people up. But what are you going to do when all the electricity goes out and you have no cash at home? And you can't use your credit card in an ATM because it works off electricity. You can't go into the store and buy any water or any food because your card won't open the cash register drawer or ring up what you're buying. And people are going to be very short-tempered, running out at 5 o'clock in the evening in Los Angeles and Orange County and San Bernardino and San Diego counties and Riverside counties when cars come to a creeping stop and block traffic for hours at a time. Flares of the temper are going to happen. How are you going to protect yourself? How will you ever communicate with your family? What if it's an EMP, electromagnetic impulse bomb, going off above the earth, say right over Kansas City? And it would go both ways and shut down all computers and electricities. Everything would stop. Your refrigerator wouldn't work anymore. Your food will spoil. There'll be no more fresh water. And people will start marauding and stealing and killing for some food. Now, I was in a meeting one time, not too long ago, of a federal agency, and we had a agent talking to us. Do you know what one of the first things that happened at Hurricane Katrina that took place in New Orleans? Every gun store and every Walmart were broken into, and thousands of rifles and pistols and knives and bullets and shells and automatic, semi-automatic weapons were stolen. 400 different stores. The federal government had a special team that they would probably, I don't think they'd deny it. And their response was, black Suburbans, black combat with the authority to take human life. And their whole job was shooting this area. And a group of men that did not work together, did not know each other from different agencies, but sworn law enforcement people, would respond. There were people that were crazy or motivated or paid, standing on bridge overpasses, shooting the people that are wading through the water to get out of their area. And I raised my hand. I said, well, that particular story you just told, what happened to that guy? He'll never pick up a gun or anything ever again. Oh, okay. Do you know that there are people that know how nasty and how soon it's all going to hit? They know. And what are you going to do if you're a faithless person? Your flesh is going to do whatever it takes to satisfy your flesh. But then there's going to be somebody a little bit bigger than you whose flesh is bigger than your flesh, and you're not going to get past them. They're going to throw you to the ground and beat you to death, or worse, you wish you were dead. Take heed that no man deceives you. Because if you are deceived, you give something up. Because I can look at people and I can say, oh, okay. And then I look at them, oh, I thought that was my friend. Man, wow. Could you help me get this knife out of my back here? I thought that was my friend. But when the chips fall, the bad rise. So this is why a healthy, mature government that believes in God's word, as the early founders did, and came up with understanding because they feared God, they had knowledge of how to write this document so it would protect all American citizens for all time. And they had the power of the Holy Spirit because they did it according to the Holy Scriptures. And now it is so bad, the average American does not realize the enemy of that Constitution is inside and for a period of time was at the highest levels of government. And in your lifetime, you've seen the fruition of evil. And it's always about, let's change the whole thing about the Electoral College. You ever heard that recently? Our leaders were so smart that they realized if we didn't have the Electoral College, that one party could win over all parties. But because it's Electoral College, a little unpopulated state like Wyoming has the same amount of authority to vote for the president as the 30 million that live in California. They were brilliant. They had no idea of how we were going to be spread across the country. But just in case somebody had the mathematical ability to say, you know what, if there's populations like there are now, we can say, we'll do this, but we don't know what the future holds. Chuck Smith used to always say, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future, right? So it's the Lord. So the earthquakes in various places, oh gosh, just recently, England, they never have in London earthquakes. They had one recently. I love it with Barry, Pastor Barry, and when we do World News Briefing on Thursdays, because we've started joking for the last 24 months that the news articles now are saying, never have we seen anything like this. Never before in history has a wind of this magnitude hit land. Never before has an earthquake like this done. Never before, never before. And Isaiah said a long time ago, the earth languishes under its inhabitants. The inhabitants are messing up the earth. I'm not going to go off to a left or right thing about ecology. The only left and right that I go to is the hands of Jesus were nailed to a cross for my sins. And I would be dead many times over and not here tonight had Jesus never died for my sins. I can think of 50, if not 150 times that I should have not made it out of that party, not made it out of that traffic situation, not made it out of a lot of places. But the Lord had mercy and grace. So how can I not be busy? And how can you not be busy for the things of the Lord? How can I not be generous and give more than the waiter or the waitress expects and then give them a word? The man up here on the freeway as I got off, he is meek, gentle. He had a little sign. I called him over my car. The light had just turned. That's a long light. I said, how are you? And he said, well, I'm trying. I said, are you really trying? I'm really trying. Things just did not go my way. Well, I'll tell you something. I used to be on the streets. Don't give up. Whatever you do, don't give up. God's going to touch your life. And I said, we'll pray for you. I don't know what his name is, but we're going to pray for that man. And I hope he becomes an evangelist for Jesus and moves on for the things of God. The devil's given him all the world, and that world of his is holding a sign saying, help. But when you talk to him, you see that he's a broken man. He looks like an executive. His mind wasn't drugged or alcohol. He's just a broken man. How can we, broken people, disregard broken people? Why do we have to be so cool and such strong egos? Why do we have to be better than everybody? Why do we have to make more money, more money, more money? Why can't we ever be satisfied and at peace in our lives? Because Jesus promised the peace that passes all understanding. He has so much more for all of us. It's going to take eternity to understand. But for right now, we're held accountable. Know you not that your vessel is the temple of the living God? So this temple doesn't want to be seen looking at things it shouldn't be looking at, and these ears shouldn't be listening to things that Jesus died for, and this heart should never be given over to anyone except for my Lord, my wife, and children. Take heed that no man deceives you. So we'll close with this and do the second half on next Sunday night. Verse 9, but watch out for yourselves. Don't be self-centered. Watch out for yourselves. Don't be deceived. Don't be naive. For they will deliver you up to councils. Now he's talking to the Jews. And you'll be beaten in the synagogues. He's talking to the Jews. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. And it certainly has gone out, hasn't it? But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or even premeditate what you're going to say, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it's not you who speaks, but the Holy Spirit. And brothers will betray brothers to death. A father betray his child. And children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end, he shall be saved. I saw firsthand in my own eyeballs in northern Iraq, two different times. And I listened to the officials, the governors, and the law enforcement, and the military. And I saw how ISIS had a plan, but it had to get rid of all the Christians in Syria and Iraq. Therefore, Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, ISIS. And they first spied out all the schools. We'll take just Mosul. And the Muslim boys and girls were going to be taught a lesson. Tell us who all the Christian boys and girls are in your first grade, second grade, junior high, high school. Tell us who they are. And they called them by name when they took over Mosul and told them to either deny Jesus as their Savior, their Lord, and accept their God, or they'd be beheaded. I talked to some people that were on the top looking at the bigger picture. Not one of them said that they heard any story of a Christian child or teenager in the schools denouncing Jesus, but they have a lot of proof that many of them had their heads taken off. What they did there, they plan on doing here. But take heed that no man deceives you. You give up. You stop voting. You stop standing for what is good. Because I learned a long time ago, if you don't stand up for righteousness, you shall fall for everything and anything. And just because other people are doing it doesn't mean that it's right. Take heed that no one deceives you. This is your vessel. It's nobody. This is your body. This is your mind. This is your life. And you give it to God. And any troublemakers have to talk to him to get to you. Our country let down its guard. It let down its borders. And now we see what that brings. The It was cool because everybody could do what they wanted. So take heed. Don't let anybody deceive you. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Shall we stand? And shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that Jesus was willing to give a message that told people, you can be deceived. There is a deceiving spirit that can lie to you and paint a picture that you believe is real and then take advantage. And you say, let no man deceive you, which means we need to be awake and alert. We need to be on our toes. We need to be prepared and have an answer for every man that asks why we believe like we believe. Lord, as St. Peter said that we should gird up the loins of our mind, that procreative power that you gave us to think and imagine. And we see that everything in entertainment seems to be to break down the procreative imagination and thought process and intellect. Give us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, for prayer, and for your word. We have no defense except for the armor you have given us. And tonight, as the world is aflame, we beg you to have mercy on our country. Lord God, have mercy in the name of Jesus. And now, as your children stand before you, Lord, this night, may your Holy Spirit fall upon them in a personal way, that your love would just overwhelm them. And Lord, they would surrender their will to your will be done. Bless these men. Bless these women. Prepare us to be ready and to be actively involved in your kingdom. If maybe you've walked away from the Lord, I'd sure love it if you'd just come down front, and some of us would love to pray for you and pray with you. No judgment or condemnation, but come and get in the center of God's will and let Him handle your life and give you direction. For the Proverbs say, if you'll trust in the Lord with all of your heart and you'll not lean to your own understanding, He shall direct your paths. But I sense that there's somebody that's just saying, well, I've never really ever asked to go to heaven or asked God to forgive me of my sins. Well, you need to do that right now. Just ask Him, God, will you forgive me of my sins? God, all I've done in my life, would you even accept me? God, would you open my heart that I could believe in you and love you and that you could communicate with me? You come down. Let's pray. Come now and let's pray. As we worship, and the people around you are singing and worshiping, let us pray, and that can be your background music. Worshiping the God that loves you, the God who let His only begotten Son die for you, the God who raised His Son from the dead and promises new life and resurrection to you and me. Come now, would you please? In the name of Jesus, as we worship.
That's Mike McIntosh with the conclusion to an important teaching titled, Are We at the End of History? The scripture reveals plainly what God requires. We have the opportunity to avoid sinful activities through this knowledge. But because man fails to heed God's word, Christ, our righteousness, has paid the price for these sins. Our intimate relationship with the Lord burdens our hearts with the desire to obey. If we don't have that overwhelming desire, we haven't cultivated that intimate knowledge of our Lord. When we're in a right relationship with our Savior, we can't help but desire to obey the commandments of God and follow the example of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacIntosh.com. That's MikeMacIntosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only this series through Mark, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacIntosh.com and look for the Mark 2018 series. Tomorrow we'll continue our studies in the Gospel of Mark. Chapter and verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.